Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM and around the states on a local Civic Media radio station near you. Maybe you're listening in Richland Center on WRCE News from the Center, or WGBW, Talk of Green Bay, wherever you are. You can share a tangent with me on this Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Take those tangents all hour long, and we're joined all hour long by William Walter on a Wednesday. Will, how are we doing, my friend?
It's a Wednesday.
Gee, you're going to start off with the singing right away, man? Come on, save it for later.
I'm so excited for on a Wednesday. It's like the third best Wednesday of the week.
There you go. Well, we got them all lined up this week, and we got you joining us here all hour. Again, folks, if you want to share a tangent with Will and I, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also tweet the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter while it still lasts. And we got a number of headlines that we're going to get to. And we're going to toss them around, a couple of tangents, talking about unions and, you know, stock buybacks. So whether or not that's working. But before we get to those headlines, we've also got an update from our senior senator from Wisconsin. We shared some comments he made at the Milwaukee Press Club yesterday on the show. Well, he made those comments on Monday, but we shared those comments yesterday. And then we got some more of his comments to share as well. But before we get to all that, this one's really been stuck in my craw for a little while now, Will. And it's pretty interesting because we got a couple of updates on this. But the U.S. Supreme Court, the one of nine associate justices, Clarence Thomas, we've been getting a lot of reporting, Will, from ProPublica and Bloomberg, several different other outlets. The Lever is where I see the news from today. But Clarence Thomas, beginning of April, we found out that he had been taking private yacht trips and luxury cruises and private jets and all of these different things with a billionaire benefactor down in Dallas, Harlan Crow. And he's got some pretty strange tastes. He collects Nazi memorabilia.
You mean Nazi memorabilia collector Harlan Crow? Mm-hmm. Is that the one we're referring to?
Same one. And when the reporting came out, Will, of their relationship. The relationship that has been fostered between Harlan Crow and Clarence Thomas since Clarence Thomas was appointed to a lifetime appointment on the nation's highest court. They were not friends before that. So, yes, there's questionable ethics here for befriending somebody after you're on that lifetime appointment and having this kind of questionable friendship is what we'll leave it at. They insisted, the parties, Harlan Crow, Clarence Thomas, not commenting a whole lot on this other than, oh, well, what are a couple of vacations among friends? What's the big deal? There's no business before the court that Harlan Crow has, Will. That would be maybe unethical. But now we're finding out. We've kind of opened this can of worms, Will. And it seems like, according to reporting over at thelevernews.com, that maybe, in fact, some of Crow's business interests may have had business before the U.S. Supreme Court. And this comes
shocking.
On the heels.
So, yeah, shocking.
Tremendously shocking. Of course. I'm so shocked. This is my shocked face, Will. And for those folks watching this excellent show of Dueling Tangents on the Mad Radio 92.7's Facebook page, it doesn't look very shocked. This is my shocked face.
No, it looks like you were expecting it, in fact, Luke.
Not all that surprised.
I mean, you don't befriend a Supreme Court justice after they're nominated to a lifetime appointment. just because you want to spend some good time with your with a quality individual, right? Like, I mean, those
smoking
of us who
cigars
have any
in the woods—that's all they wanted to do—is smoke some cigars in the woods.
Yeah, maybe go fishing a little bit, just a couple $500,000 vacations on massive mega yachts throughout the Mediterranean. Like, we all do this. Come on, don't act like you haven't taken a $500,000 vacation, Luke, every year for the last 30 years.
What? What? No, it has not been happening. And so I'm not shocked. Are you shocked? 844-967-2789. Because this is the reporting coming out of a little bit of a closer examination on business that's been before the Supreme Court now that Harlan Crow may have been tied to. And so this is the headline over at The Lever. Thomas helped kill eviction ban threatening benefactor's business. This story being released yesterday, written up by David Sirota, Rebecca Burns, Andrew Perez, Julia Rock, and Matthew Cunningham Cook. Harlan Crow's company said tenant protections threatened its profits. Thomas twice voted to end them while Crow lavished him with gifts. So what is it? Is it trips among friends, or is this truly business that Crow had before the Supreme Court?
They bought a Supreme Court justice, Luke. I'll answer that question for you.
It seems like that may be the case. Or you know, it's just hard to rule against your friends, Will. That's what it is. It's hard to rule against your friends. And how can you make the comments when this reporting of this relationship comes out that, oh, there's never been business before the court? You would think that the next logical step would be that outlets would begin looking at the business that's been before the court tied to Harlan Crow. Right? Like, we've now found out that there were business transactions that weren't reported on Clarence Thomas's taxes, that Harlan Crow purchased the house that his mother lives in.
That's one of the most noteworthy points, Luke, because it shows that Thomas is very well aware of the optics behind this relationship and went out of his way to try to hide it. Very similar to what happened with Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah.
With yesterday's reporting.
As we discussed on the show yesterday, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, 9 days after being appointed to a lifetime appointment on the nation's highest court, finally finding a seller. Took him almost 2 years. Finally found a seller 9 days conveniently after having that lifetime appointment. And the buyer in that agreement just happened to be one of the largest law firms in the nation's top attorneys. So just strange how that works out. But yes, the fact
more strange that he attempted to hide it, because you can't feign ignorance of the law when you went out of your way to try to protect.
When you just conveniently left that blank, it's just, oh, I conveniently left that box blank. What's the big deal? Don't audit me, IRS.
That's intent. That is intent to hide the truth. That is intent to confuse the American people. That is essentially admitting that what you are doing is wrong, and you know what you are doing is wrong, so it's significantly easier to not discuss it than it is to make light of it.
Correct. And so, reading from this piece over at The Lever, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas voted to end federal tenant protections that his billionaire benefactor's company says threatened its real estate profit margins, according to corporate documents reviewed by The Lever. Thomas did not disclose his relationship with real estate billionaire Harlan Crow, nor did he recuse himself from the 2021 case, despite its potential impact on Crow Holdings. Now, rent control, which Crow Holdings documents also say threatens the company's business, could come before Thomas, and there is no indication he would recuse himself if it does. Recent reporting by ProPublica, which we've been referencing, found that Thomas failed to disclose 2 decades worth of luxury gifts provided by Crow, as well as Crow's purchase of property owned by Thomas, in apparent violation of longstanding federal ethics rules. And so, Will, where do we go from here? Because that is the next major question. And it seems like without the willingness of the legislative branch, which would be the branch that would hold hearings and question the ethics seemingly being violated here, I don't know if there's any resolution for the American people. And so it's going to take some political will from members of Congress to get accountability here. But it doesn't seem like either A, Congress is up to the job, or B, the Supreme Court is willing to self-monitor itself, because last night, this is reporting over at the Washington Post, last night, Chief Justice John Roberts declines to testify on Supreme Court ethics. Dick Durbin, chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the U.S. Senate, sent a request to Chief Justice John G. Roberts. And this was the response from Roberts. According to reporting over at the Washington Post yesterday, he told Senate leaders Tuesday that he would, quote, respectfully decline, end quote, to testify at a Senate hearing focused on the Supreme Court, offering instead a signed statement by all the justices in which they, quote, reaffirm and restate foundational ethics principles and practices to which they abide. So that's what our resolution's going
to
really be,
Will. He really just dropped the no thanks, fam, when he was asked to kind of come in front of the elected leaders of the American government and explain what you are doing to keep your unelected judges in line.
Yeah. Do we have to accept this signed letter? And then when Clarence Thomas doesn't recuse himself from a potential case that Harlan Crow would have and Crow Holdings would have before the nation's highest court, that if he doesn't recuse himself, then we get what happens next?
Roberts sounds like he's taking that sovereign citizen approach now, Luke. Like, I'm going to get pulled over or something. Officer's going to be like, you realize you were going 15 over. And I'm going to be like, I respectfully disagree. Goodbye. And drive away. Like, is that how this works now?
I don't know how this works now, because if you're telling me that it's going to take 67 senators and that's the only thing that could possibly hold a Supreme Court justice accountable when they break and violate the expected principles for what their long-term lifetime appointment is, if the threat of impeachment is the only alternative, I guess we just have a judiciary that can do whatever the hell they want. Want to hear your thoughts? 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And you can join us as well on the phone lines. Got a number of other tangents we're going to toss around, as well as video clip of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson that I think you're going to want to hear. Stay tuned.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Shocking pay-to-play scheme.
This is not normal.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
You're crazy, man.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. You can jump from station to station, listen to all the terrific programming, like Dueling Tangents, The Devil's Advocates, As Goes Wisconsin, so many more terrific programs. Also, a little shout out to the Todd Alba Show. Todd Alba and his excellent producer, Aaron Zommers, shouting me out earlier today, talking about how ramped up I am about this Clarence Thomas news. Because I yesterday, just up and down the hallways here at Civic Media, just angry about it. I truly believe, had the Milwaukee Bucks not lost the 11 points.
What are we really mad about?
Yeah,
here,
fourth quarter loss, that I wouldn't have been as on edge and so vocal yesterday. But this further news coming out from the lever has just gotten me even more ramped up. So the Neil Gorsuch, the Clarence Thomas, it is all so important to talk about, in my opinion. I think we need to be aware of what the federal judiciary is just essentially getting away with right now. And it's because we don't have at least individuals that seem interested in holding these officials accountable in Congress. Because Congress is instead represented here in Wisconsin by individuals like Ron Johnson. And
Luke, I got to touch on quick.
Yeah.
Based on something you just said. So in John Roberts' letter to Dick Durbin, he himself noted that separation of powers was one of the reasons he didn't feel that he was obligated to come and speak to.
And that's disingenuous as hell.
Which it's an interesting way of manipulating the phrasing, because the other way that you could say that would be checks and balances.
Yeah.
As in, the United States Congress is attempting to use its power to balance out one of the other three.
And check it.
And to check one of the other three governmental authorities in the United States. And Roberts is instead using separation of powers to make essentially the same point, but in a way that has a lot more negative connotations, to imply like they're trying to overreach rather than they're just trying to do their job.
Imagine if Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, just responded to all the congressional subpoenas and investigations as, oh, I'm sorry, separation of powers.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine just the head exploding of...
If she respectfully declined.
Trey Gowdy just losing his freaking mind because Hillary Clinton just said, I respectfully decline separation of powers.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine... But instead, we've got very disingenuous, bad faith actors like Ron Johnson that, and this is on a different subject, but it is on an important subject also, is the federal judiciary, climate change. And so instead of having members of the U.S. Senate that would want to, say, address these problems in good faith, we've got senators like Ron Johnson who then have this to say about a report on climate change before the U.S. Senate earlier today, and thanks to Heartland Signal, our friends down in Chicago.
I actually found that chart of yours somewhat comforting for at least America. When you take a look at the mortality risk, again, these are all projections. I don't put any stock in them whatsoever. In terms of excess deaths, a warming globe is actually beneficial. In my own state, your study shows that we'd have a reduction mortality of somewhere between 54 and 56 people per, I guess it's 100,000. Why wouldn't we take comfort in that?
So thanks for the question, Senator Johnson. And what the work shows and the chart is that the effects of climate change are going to be very unequal. And absolutely, Wisconsin, Chicago, where I live, the reduction in cold days, the benefits from that will outweigh the damages from the hot days. But if you look more carefully at that, there's large swatches of the country where the damages will be much larger. And in fact,
if you want to balance it all out globally, if you're trying to mitigate harm globally, isn't it true that the number of deaths, according to this Lancet study, the number of deaths caused by heat are 600,000 per year, deaths caused by cold are 4.5 million annually. In terms of global health, in terms of excess death, we're actually in a better position to prevent death by having the climate increase in temperature a little bit, right?
Make it hotter in here, folks.
I'm not familiar with that study. What I am familiar with is my study. Your characterization of it is incorrect.
Well, your study is very favorable to my state. Our mortality declines by 54 per 100,000.
Wisconsin will benefit in terms of mortality. There are 49 other states in the United States.
Important to point out to a U.S. senator, apparently.
Suffer. Many of them will suffer more than Wisconsin will gain. And that is the nature of climate change. It's very unequal.
According to your study, you're concerned if you're in the really hot region of Africa, but in terms of the United States and most of Europe, we're in pretty good shape. We're all blue. We have reduced risk of death.
And so the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is saying, oh, we're all my state's fine. I'm we're not going to have any problems here in Wisconsin. Why are we concerned about climate change? Very reminiscent, Will, of the, I believe it was an Oklahoma state lawmaker at one time that brought a snowball onto the floor and just like, how can we have climate change? Look, I have a snowball. And it's just like the disingenuous nature of approaching these very complex, difficult problems to solve, like the man-made effects on our climate, are being met with just disingenuous actors and bad faith arguments of, well, if you look at this study that wasn't even what Dr. Michael Greenberg, who was the other voice there on that clip with Senator Ron Johnson, was talking about. Ron Johnson tried to float his own study in there. It's just asking questions, but man, is it annoying, Will.
It's a complete misunderstanding of what is being conveyed. It reminds me kind of People who make the argument in regards to evolution, well, how did humans evolve from apes if apes still exist? You know what I'm saying?
Well, and it's also very much like the climate deniers for years now are just saying, well, global warming, climate change, it's going to be good for us. What's the big deal now? And it's the same people that were denying it, acting like it was never a problem in the first place. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. Joining me on a Wednesday. Going to get to your tangents next, 844-967-2789. Did you stand there all alone? Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You can share your tangents with us. We're talking U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's comments on climate change, just disingenuous, just asking questions, those comments, saying, well, climate change, maybe it's not that big of a deal. After, you know, denying it, it was never man-made, it was never a thing. Now, changing the argument, saying, oh, well, we can't deny it because obviously the ramifications of climate change are here. We're seeing the droughts. We're seeing the wildfires. We're seeing the more extreme weather phenomenon, and it's harder and harder to deny. And so now the argument's shifting. The goalposts are moving,
goalposts
Will.
Goalposts are moving, baby.
They moved to New York City with them. The goalposts is across the country now because goalpost is moving, and there's a different argument here now that, oh, well, climate change – actually, it could be net beneficial to us, at least in Wisconsin. I think the scientist, Dr. Greenberg's comments saying, well, sir, there's 59 other states. It's a pretty good response.
49 other states.
49, yes, excuse me. I don't know how I came up with 59. It's a weird Wednesday. There's 49 other states. Wednesday? There's 50 states in total. And Ron Johnson's comments were just nonsensical, is really what it I think. And the other point is this study clearly talking about net deaths from hot versus cold climates. The extremes that climate change will bring and the changes to things like climate scientists reference 2 degrees Celsius a lot. That number is a tied bench post to the drastic change that climate change would have on growing seasons for our crops. Speaking of agricultural terms, we as a society move from hunters and gatherers to agrarian and grow a lot of food. That's how we make our food. And so if growing seasons change, that can have a drastic effect on all of our diets and on everything. There's a lot of different ramifications there. And so that's what 2 degrees Celsius has always been pinned to. And so now just taking the action that, oh, well, that heat would be better than the cold because there's less net deaths. It's also just not actually talking about the problems that climate change can bring to us as a society. It's not just the weather phenomenon that causes deaths. If you're talking about droughts that prevents countries from being able to grow their food sources and be able to feed their citizens, that leads to increased conflict. Look into the area that Ron Johnson is just writing off of Africa right now, where that graph was referring to, where the heat deaths are affecting the most. Increased conflict will be driven from climate change as well. And so just writing that, oh, well, America, Europe, we're fine. We're going to be all right. We're going to have net gains from climate change.
I think about some luxury goods that struggle to grow, you know, require very specific, very niche environments, something like, you know, coffee or chocolate, right? That if, as climate starts to shift, as it starts to get warmer further and further north, you're not going to, not only will you not have the proper timing on the growing seasons themselves, locations are going to have to shift. Are you going to move experts to follow the crop that they know very well? Or are you going to try to just keep growing them in not suboptimal locations? And then where do you take this next step to, you know, the natural flora of the area and the ecosystem that thrives on each level of
all of the different effects.
As you go up, if plant life is destroyed now, if the local plants can't survive or can't sustain themselves going forward. All the creatures that eat this vegetation are going to suffer. As all those creatures start to suffer, everything that eats those creatures suffer. And you go, up the food chain each step. Inevitably, you reach the apex, which is us. And if entire ecosystems no longer exist below us, we're literally causing ourselves to go extinct if we follow in that footprint.
It all builds
on itself.
And
Ron Johnson doesn't seem to care about, millions of people potentially starving because, hey, it'll be a little bit nicer on my lake house every summer. So
I mean, he spends most of his time in Florida, which is absolutely going to be one of the states that sees the increased effects of climate change. Fort Lauderdale, underwater still.
Florida's going to be underwater. Yeah. Who's going to buy those houses? Aquaman?
No.
Sorry, that's one of my favorite clips. I had to give it a shout out.
It is an interesting dynamic, and it, again, just shows how unserious Ron Johnson is as a U.S. senator to actually address these problems. I want to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. You can be like Dick in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on Ron Johnson. For instance, he talks about this change, though, being actually better. I suppose he thinks it's normal, too, when like a week and a half ago, parts of Wisconsin got, 6.5 inches of rain in about 10, 12 hours. Yeah, that's real normal. And the whole thing was kind of misnamed at the beginning when it was called, global warming. It is global climate change is what you're seeing.
Yep.
Crazy stuff happening with the weather, unless you're just not paying attention. But I got something to get your blood boiling, too. I got mine going. Sure, it'll get you going. Ted Cruz, all the stuff coming out yesterday with him. I always knew the guy was a schmuck, but now there's proof positive. And here's another guy along with Ron Johnson. Johnson has a lot to answer for January 6th, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. And what about Ted Cruz? What about Ted Cruz came out yesterday?
Check out Ari Milbert's show from yesterday. It's just astounding what this guy, he's out and out sedition. I mean, they
audio
had to
tapes.
Play. They got
yep,
him.
He was recording.
Audio tapes of him. Yes. It's unbelievable.
Well, they were all talking really about is. It. January 6th happened. The Fulton County DA is still waiting until July to put to announce the charges of what grand jury. Is coming up with charging because, apparently, this is the interesting dynamic there, I guess, is that the lawyers that were paid for by the Trump campaign for some of the witnesses involved in that case weren't notified of a immunity deal to strike. And so that's why we have delays. But, Dick, we heard that phone call of him asking Brad Raffensperger, the Republican Secretary of State of Georgia,
to give me 11,000 votes.
Exactly. It was a crime committed that we all witnessed. It all happened out in the open, and it's still taking this long. So we knew that Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and congressmen all over the nation that were a part of the MAGA Republican cult were trying to overturn the results on January 6th. We all watched it unfold before our eyes. We've had congressional testimony, the January 6th committee. And so, yes, this absolutely gets my blood boiling, but I'm not surprised about it anymore. I'm not surprised if Ted Cruz was caught tape ragging about it. Yeah, it is sickening.
Well, and what's super interesting, too, that kind of like, we talk frequently about how many of these issues are intertwined. These recordings were made available by former Fox News producer Abby Grossberg in her case against Fox News. She had these private conversations recorded from January 2nd between Ted Cruz and Maria Bartiromo. Bartiromo. I don't watch Fox News.
Oh, I don't either, but I know how to pronounce her name.
But this is part of her upcoming lawsuit against Tucker Carlson and the Fox News Network as well. So many of these issues, they are quite literally involved with one another in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah, it's all layered on top of each other. And it is absolutely something that gets my blood boiling. So appreciate that, Dick, here on a Wednesday afternoon, just trying to get my heart rate up. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Up next, we got Jesse here in Madison. Jesse, what's on your mind?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for taking the call. Say, I'd just like to remind everybody the idea that climate change and the disruption of the climate causes widespread violence, that's not a someday thing. That's a 10 years ago thing. I think, you know, in hindsight, people think that the Syrian civil war was merely and only a result of the Arab Spring. But the Arab Spring was typically citizenry rising up against government oppression in a variety of different countries. In Syria, the uprising began when farmers couldn't grow crops, and then the Bashar Assad government wasn't doing anything about it. Like, that was the beginning of the protests. Mm-hmm. The Syrian government cracked down very violently, and this was because of a very atypical drought that had been going on for quite some time in Syria. So, I mean, we think of the Middle East as being one big desert because, you know, Americans typically learn their geography from wars we fight in. But the drought there and in that time was not standard, not normal, and was almost certainly due to the changing climate.
Yeah, and I think as we've pointed out, the amount of snow here, we also had wildfires here in Wisconsin as well. So yes, the climate is absolutely changing. There's ramifications of it around the world, and for a senator, a U.S. senator, to just downplay, well, my state's going to be okay. Although we have flooding and wildfires and downplaying all of that violence on the other side of the world, it is so disingenuous, and it's such a bad faith argument, and it needs to be called out.
And you would think he would know that because he sits on the Foreign Relations Committee. But yeah, I digress. It's not like he's doing his job or anything. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call, Jesse. You can be like Jesse. 844-967-2789. You can share your tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on a Wednesday afternoon. Again, 844-967-2789 if you want to share a tangent with us. But Will, there's just so many other, as you pointed out, just layer upon layer upon layer of all of these things. We've got the Harlan Crow, Clarence Thomas, Senate going on with Tucker Carlson being let go, and all of this intertwined. And that's what we talk about here on Dueling Tangents. One of the other things we've been talking about as well is taking a look at the economy. And when we're talking about the economy over the last 2 years, a lot of it's been talked about is under the guise of inflation, under the talks of rising prices, and nobody wants to work anymore. And interestingly enough, one of the things that I think is not talked about enough is stock buybacks. Because these stock buybacks are very, very fascinating to me. And it makes things look like we need to come up with a new way to gauge the economy rather than just how Wall Street's doing. Because these companies have these terrible, terrible, terrible incentives to take profits, and rather than invest in their businesses, in their employees, in what they do, they go to Wall Street and they buy their own stock to inflate the price of their stock to then say, look how great we're doing. Look how good we're doing because our stock price has never been better, even though it was they themselves that just juiced their own stock price with $1 billion in stock buybacks.
Well, and remember, that was illegal until 1982. So,
yeah. And it, in my opinion, it should still be illegal. But thank you, Ronald Reagan. And now we see the latest casualty of a company that goes, look how great we are. Look, we've done it where our stock price has never been higher. And over the last, say, 20 years or so, spent about $11 billion in stock buybacks. But this week,
it's
declaring
12, actually, Luke. 11.8.
Okay, more. Did I say more than 11? I said more than 11. Come on. Almost.
I think you said about 11.
Okay, my bad. My bad.
We're talking bees here, Luke. These bees. Billions, man. Yes. Each one of those add up.
So nearly $12 billion in stock buybacks. And Bed Bath & Beyond now declaring bankruptcy. All of those jobs, you know, they're jobs creators. It's a good thing that they're doing the stock buybacks. Is their job all those jobs gone. The workers, not getting a whole lot, but the stock price, for a little while, Will, was really high. It was going to the moon. And thanks in part to just, you know, the stock buybacks not actually being able to deliver. So this is something we're going to continue to talk about. We got a couple of other economic updates as well, along with unionization efforts and more. We'll take your tangents. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We got one more segment left in the day. We're going to be right back. Looking for the answer. You can find a reason to stay. Standing in the pouring rain. Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts. Give me the hope to go on.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Knew that was coming one sooner or later. It had to be now. It had to be this segment. We're feeling good on a Wednesday because William Walter is here joining us on Dueling Tangents. Oh, we'll sing it again, though. Oh, make that stop, please. Please make that stop.
I wish I could sing.
Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text your tangent. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. And we'll talk in the latest news with Bed Bath & Beyond filing for bankruptcy. Essentially, employees not given any heads up. This was something we knew was coming, but this week got sped up pretty quick. It is massive. The fact that such a amount can be spent, reading from a piece over at CNN Business, the $11.8 billion spent since 2004 to buy back its own stock. But it's more than twice the $5.2 billion in debt that it had on the books in its most recent SEC filing. So it had the money to be able to pay off its debts. It's just reckless.
Its failure is completely on its own.
It's all corporate greed. That's what it comes down to. And it is just fascinating now that there still continues to be a narrative that it's like, oh, well it's the economy's bad because nobody wants to work anymore. That's why. Not the reckless corporate greed that is running rampant and leading to these higher prices, driving inflation through corporate greed. We want to hear your thoughts. Share them with us here on Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. We've got Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Great topics. And I would add not only greed, but just plain stupidity. I just wanted to return to the subject of Ron Johnson piloting the boat as we, you know, enter the world of climate change. I mean, more and more, I'm convinced that guy is just like the skipper on Gilligan's Island, you know, completely clueless about what's going on. And I would add to what a previous caller said, kind of amazing that he is so clueless when he's on the Foreign Relations Committee. So you would have some idea about how climate change is affecting other countries and what that may mean in terms of our military and financial aid and that sort of thing. I would also add, it's sort of amazing that the guy is an accountant and is so apparently clueless about climate change. I would add two points when you think about this. One, I remember reading probably 8 years or so ago that the head of the reinsurance entity worldwide is based in Switzerland. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's R-E. And this is the company that basically takes insurance from companies all around the world and then bundles it up and creates, you know, it is the end place. And the head of that guy was, head of it was so wonderful. That's probably about 2005. And he had the quote that was something along the lines of, well, you know, you may not think that climate change is real, but we in the insurance business sure know it's real because we can't afford to ignore it. You know, words to that effect. I mean, they can't. They simply can't. And to add to that discussion, I would say I had a lovely backyard talk with our insurance agent when we were suffering from wind damage and, you know, looking at some pretty extensive money that we had to pay out. And he made this really interesting point. He said that the insurance companies, of course, know the climate change is happening. They're not stupid. They're about making money and having to pay out. They know what's happening. Other people may be trying to dodge it, but they know. And he said in his business, they were looking at these training tornadoes that you would have in the Midwest, the new phenomenon where it's one after another, and this endless damage. He said that they had hail damage from one series of tornadoes. This is back like 6-7 years ago in Indiana. There was over $1 billion in payouts. He said, we can't afford it. Yeah. And he said, what you will see more and more is that more and more things will be dropped out of coverage. Not only rates increasing, but you aren't going to have wind damage. You aren't going to have hail damage. You aren't going to have mold damage. You aren't going to have flooding damage. He said, within the insurance industry, there are many arguing that this should go back to what insurance really started for with house insurance, is insurance for fire, and that's it. Anything else related to climate change, forget it. And then I would add,
well, you know, there's going to be a lot of more wildfires, Joe, though, because of climate change. Exactly. So they're going to try to find a way to get out of that. But right here in Wisconsin, along the Mississippi River right now, we are seeing increased flooding. And I'm sure that there are countless insurance companies, not the agents that are trying to work on behalf of their customers, but the companies that are saying, well, our bottom line is affected by how many payouts we give. So there, I'm sure, are accounts for climate change in all of those different policies. And it is absolutely that the petroleum industry, Joe, has for years known that climate change exists. They've then took the money that they're making off of the petroleum industry and then pump it into pseudoscience saying, oh, well, climate change, is it really that bad? And now we're having our U.S. senators say, well, actually, the net effects may be good. Maybe they're good. Who knows? But we got and appreciate the phone call, Joe. We got our next caller on the line. We got Gary in Sussex calling in. Gary, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I hope you let me get it out without taking me off of my topic, because this is my tangent. Okay, I just want to know, there's two comments I want
to make. Does it relate at all to the show, Gary?
Well, your subject you're talking about right now?
Any of the subject. We've thrown around like six tangents today, Gary. Come on, you can't relate to one of them?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't listening all day. I just turned you on 15 minutes ago.
What do you got? Working.
Okay. Gender-affirming surgery. What is your opinion of that? And I don't remember. I met your lovely wife. I don't know if you guys even have kids. But if you do, if your child came up to you at 12 years old and your daughter says that she wants to whatever, would you sit there and say, well, okay, that's a good idea? Or would you let her grow up first and let her make her own decision when she's much more an adult that can make decisions on something like that? So I just want to know what your opinion is.
Gary, is this what you're sitting? This is what you're sitting at work thinking about?
Yeah, no, this has been going on for
this is what months. The right wing has been pumping you. They're sitting over there, and the right wing media wants you to be focused on this rather than anything. Like, I honestly, I've never had that thought because I am not currently a parent, so I don't know. But I can tell you that it is a right wing ecosystem that wants you to be focused on preventing the ability for a very, very, very small fraction of the population to receive the care and treatment and respect and dignity that they deserve. And you are over here trying to make it some kind of culture war aspect. And honestly, I feel bad again, because a lot of the times, Gary, I appreciate you listening. And a lot of the times you call in, and I appreciate those as well. You call up in this fever dream that the right wing media wants you to be in. And I just wish that you could break free from it, Gary, because you don't have to be sitting there focusing on all
millions of dollar gifts. We have climate change on the horizon that could lead to starvation.
Bud Light sending a couple of cans to somebody with their face on it is not a major concern. I'm sorry. If you want to go shoot up Bud Light cans, go do that then. But that's, I'm sorry, Gary. I'm really, really sorry, man. Appreciate you listening. Not going to be able to get to all the other callers. We had a terrific edition of Dueling Tangents. Thank you so much, Will, for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow.
Peace out, Brady.